Welcome to a special edition of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive. 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. We are starting this brand new year, 2024, by rebroadcasting episode 551. Happy New Year, from January, 2023. We will wrap up our Christmas Perspectives mini-series this week and next.
In 46 BC, after consulting with the most prominent astronomers and mathematicians of his time, the Roman Emperor Julius Caesar introduced the Julian calendar, which closely resembles the more modern Gregorian calendar that most of the world uses today. Caesar also established January 1 as the first day of the year, partly to honor the month's namesake, Janus, the Roman god of beginnings, whose two faces allowed him to look back into the past and forward into the future. Romans celebrated by offering sacrifices to Janus, exchanging gifts with one another, decorating their homes with laurel branches, and attending raucous parties. A new year often affords us the opportunity to reflect, to think about the previous 12 months, accomplishments, milestones, mistakes made, lessons learned. But we ought not be stuck in last year or the many years that preceded that one. The Apostle Paul ends a section in Philippians 3 by saying, "One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." What does Paul mean by this? Is he instructing us to forget everything that ever happened before we met Christ? Is he chastising us to not dwell on the past? Is this a command to purge our minds of all memories? It is important to consider the passage that precedes these words. Paul had just listed all his religious qualifications that to the Jewish mind were of supreme importance. He then states, "I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." Paul makes the point that no fleshly accomplishment matters in comparison with knowing Christ and trusting in his righteousness alone for salvation. Regardless of how good or how bad we may have been, we must all come to Christ the same way, humble, repentant, and undeserving of his forgiveness. The word forgetting in this passage means no longer caring for, neglecting, refusing to focus on. Our memories store millions of pieces of information gained through our senses since birth. Some experiences are impossible to forget, and any effort to forget them only makes them more prominent. Paul is not advising a memory wipe. He's telling us to focus on the present and the future rather than the past. It is so easy to live in the past, whether it's a past victory that our minds continually replay, or a past defeat that hangs over us like a shroud. It needs to be left in the past. Nothing hinders present service quite like being mired in another time. Modeling Paul's forgetfulness means we count the past as nothing. We cut the strings that tie us to that bygone moment. We refuse to allow past successes to inflate our pride. We refuse to allow past failures to deflate our self-worth. We leave it behind and instead adopt our new identity in Christ. We're not to forget everything, however, in the sense of being oblivious to it. In fact, there are many times God instructs us to remember. In Deuteronomy 9, verse 7, Moses tells Israelites to remember this and never forget how you aroused the anger of the Lord your God in the wilderness. From the day you left Egypt until you arrived here, you have been rebellious against the Lord. We're encouraged to remember all God has done for us, others who are suffering for Christ's sake, and what we were before Jesus saved us. And of course, one of the guidelines for abundant living is about remembering. But remembering should be to the glory of God and for our spiritual benefit. If we are cleansed by the blood of Christ, then no judgment remains for past failures. If God chooses not to remember our past sins, we can choose to set them aside as well and embrace the future he promises to those who love him. Rather than remain rooted in the past, we are to have a future orientation. One way to look ahead to the future with a sense of purpose is through the making of resolutions. The ancient Babylonians are said to have been the first people to make New Year's resolutions, some 4,000 years ago. They were also the first to hold recorded celebrations in honor of the New Year. Though for them, the year began not in January, but in mid-March, when the crops were planted. During a massive 12-day religious festival known as Akitu, the Babylonians crowned a new king or reaffirmed their loyalty to the reigning king. They also made promises to the gods to pay their debts and return any objects they had borrowed. These promises could be considered the forerunners of our New Year's resolutions. If the Babylonians kept their word, their pagan gods would bestow favor on them for the coming year. If not, they would fall out of the gods' favor, a place no one wanted to be. Each year, about 45% of people in the United States make resolutions with an eye toward having better lives. In fact, modern resolutions are a pretty American idea. They're part of the striving, individualist identity that is part of the country's self-help culture. The most popular are about self-improvement, living healthier, getting happy, losing weight, exercising, stopping smoking, reducing drinking. In addition, people resolve to meet career or job goals and improve their relationships. Yet resolutions are not confined to just the United States. In 2013, Google Zeitgeist put together a project asking people for their resolutions. Health was the most popular goal for people in the US and Egypt, while romance was on the minds of those in Australia and Japan. Russians focused on educational goals, and in India, work-related goals were the most popular. Despite their big plans, though, only 8% of people will achieve their New Year's resolutions. Yet even if you don't keep your resolutions, it's still a good idea to make them. Being honest with yourself about your current condition and the distance to your preferred situation is key to improvement. And being intentional about how you want to grow and develop will help you achieve results. This intentionality will also contribute to your happiness and fulfillment. When you're moving forward with clear direction, you make a positive contribution to your emotional and mental health. The Bible encourages us to be intentional. Ephesians 5 verses 15 to 17. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Making New Year's resolutions is inherently hopeful and optimistic. You expect things can get better for you, for your work experience, or for your community. This positive view of the future, in turn, tends to motivate action. If you don't believe tomorrow can be better, you're unlikely to take steps to improve yourself or your community. So optimism is doubly beneficial, contributing to your own mental health, but also engaging you toward positive action, which has an effect on those around you. Jeremiah 29 verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Father, thank you for all the blessings you have prepared for us to walk into in 2023. Open our hearts to receive them. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.
Thanks for joining us today. Join us again tomorrow for another New Year episode. And coming soon, we will continue our major project that we launched last year, Jesus in Every Book of the Bible. Our study will take us next to the book of Jeremiah.